Bomb, welcome back. We had to take a pause yesterday because we were diving so deep. It took a lot of time. We were talking for 1 hour yesterday, and we only got a third of the way, but the other half is easier, faster. The first half is the basics, so you gotta have the foundation right. So that takes a bit more time. So, Chris, you ready to jump back in?
Let's do it. It's me diving in.
Okay, so yesterday we stopped at target audience. So, and we stopped at what drives target audience's decision-making process. And it's the quality and price ratio, mostly. I have a question for you. Does speed matter to them, how fast the turnover is?
Yeah, in a lot of cases it does. And I think my biggest problem is that when they have a quick turnaround time, I can meet those deadlines. That's not a problem. It's when they don't have a deadline and they say, just get it across whenever, then I leave it and I don't do it, and I never do it. Especially when it comes to video editing. Like, I got a guy who, a local restaurant here, and he likes me to do videos, and he loves it no matter what I produce, but I don't like to just put shit out there. I like to produce something that's nice. And so I end up humming and hawing over it, and it just becomes something that I never get back to. So yeah, I think that, you know, it's like it is part of my brand where I should be better at doing that, but it's really down to like a personal my own sort of push. Yeah, exactly. I gotta be more disciplined.
I mean, how I tackle this is I try to do it as fast as possible for every situation, and I don't care what they say the deadline is. It's like, I will get it done by then, and you will get it by then, you know, calculating how much time it actually takes me to do stuff. So, but that's based on each project. So it's changing the pacing and setting the stage, so you have your own deadline that keeps the discipline, in a sense. Okay, are there any secondary markets or untapped audiences you are exploring?
Yeah, I mentioned video before. Yeah, okay, so markets, yeah, I guess video is a product. So I am kind of looking at doing restaurants. So one of the things about restaurants is they need constant content that they can stick up on their like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, wherever they're doing their marketing. And I worked with a guy last year who was doing video at a job where I was doing photography. And his Instagram is full of all these shoots where he goes to restaurants and he'll take pictures of like hero shots of burgers or like, you know, whatever the main event is. And then he'll get all this like B-roll of all the other stuff. And then he'll get some hero shots with the video. And I was like, you know, you're doing a lot of these food shoots. How do you book so many customers? And he said, what he does is he charges them a monthly price. So he basically has them on a retainer, or they have him on a retainer, and he goes and does one shoot per month, and then he manages their social media. So they pay him to manage their social media account, and he'll go in there one day a month, get all the content he needs, and then he'll organize his posts for the next month using all that stuff. So he'll edit a video, maybe do like 3-4 different clips, get a bunch of photos out there, and then he basically goes and posts it or pays someone. I don't know exactly if he pays someone to post it or how he's doing that side of things. But yeah, that's one area that I've been kind of looking into, and there are a few restaurants within the 20-mile area that I could easily service to do things like that.
Okay. That's actually the monthly retainer is something about the definition of pricing and towards these commercial clients as well, because nowadays everybody needs content in general. So positioning as a content strategist with the ability to produce it with a camera on a monthly retainer for commercial well-paying clients is a pretty safe bet and direction to go in as well.
Yeah, I like the sound of that content strategist.
Yes. I myself am a brand strategist, and my
Yes.
colleague is a sales strategist. So we are exploring this area of market positioning in the professional space. But that comes with you thinking what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and it comes with expected results. Clients expect that you will deliver results if you are positioning yourself as an expert that knows what he's doing as well. But they like, you can't position yourself as an expert, take some photos, post them, and get zero likes on Instagram. They'll be like, and you'll be like, well, I can't control. But if you are positioning yourself as a content strategist, you're kind of saying that you can. You know what's gonna pe what people are going to engage with and what they're gonna like and stuff. But that is definitely an interesting direction to take stuff in.
Yeah, and
Okay.
I think, in terms of like getting results, that's something that you can easily do if you're posting the right content, and that there's also like a marketing budget that goes along with that, right? You gotta
Yep.
basically run some ads and shit like that.
You're basically contracting yourself to be a marketing manager in a sense. Social media content manager. You could be at the job there, but maybe they don't have the need to employ somebody full time for that position. But they still need active social media, so that's where these content agencies come in. That's a pretty popular model here in Latvia. All of the young kids are going for TikTok content management agencies. It's like popping one after the other up, and no, they're like going and filming, going for one day, filming a lot of content, producing 30 videos from it, and then posting one every day. And so, all right. Next up, we have competitors. I will copy paste your primary competitors from your workbook that you put together. We have Ian Burt, Lee Blanche, Flower, and anyone else that does video. So Ian Burt seems to be everywhere. What does that mean?
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. He was a press photographer, and so he's constantly at all the events. If there's an event happening, he's there taking them. And ever since press photography was culled by the industry, right? They got rid of press photographers basically. They just use freelance photographers now. And so he does a lot of work for a local newspaper that comes out once a week, and you flip through it, and 80, 90% of the photos are all his. And I don't know if he's getting paid for that or he's not getting paid for that. I certainly don't want to be doing out there doing what he's doing. But by being out there and constantly getting his name everywhere, he's prolific in the local area. So everybody knows who he is, and everybody is. You hear his name and you associate it with photography.
Would you like to be in his position, like market
No.
position? Not like what he's doing, but in a sense of everybody hears your name and already know, okay, that's top of mind awareness. That's Chris, that's photography.
Yeah, in theory, that's what I would like to be, yeah.
In theory or in real life?
In real life, that's what I would like to be, yeah. You know, I have been known as the photographer, you know, and I still am in many circles, but because of everything that happened over since COVID and the pandemic and then crypto and DAOs, and I took a step back, that image has waned quite a bit.
So you have a perfect opportunity to rebrand and reposition yourself.
Yeah, you could say that.
So following up with now the second question, then how is your brand? How are you going to be positioned differently than all of these three competitors?
Well, I don't want to be the everything guy. And Ian is definitely that. Right? He is the jack of all. And if you go and look at his website, he's got PR and he's got weddings and he's got portraits and he's got commercial and he's got like on and on and on. And I don't want to have that like cloudy image. I want it to be more concise.
What would that concise be?
Basically, you know, kind of what we covered, which is commercial clients, right? Not like family portraits. Yeah, commercial photography.
Okay, so this is how you are different from Ian. How are you different from Lee Blanchflower?
I'm not a dick.
Like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that.
Yes.
How am I? Yeah, that's for the next one. Yeah, that's a good question. Cause you know, like introducing video doesn't mean I can't do photography.
Do you want to introduce video?
Not particularly, but I have to stay relevant.
Particularly.
I don't mind taking videos. I don't specifically like editing videos. So, you know, and I think that can be solved by not being such a perfectionist. And the more a video I edit, the better I'll get at it. And then also knowing the shots to get, as you know, like, as you know, you get a bunch of B-roll. And you're not really sure what you're going to use when you're using it. And it's, I guess it's really going into a shoot with more of an idea of what the output is going to be. So my problem is really not having enough experience doing video that I don't.
Let's dig towards that. You don't want to, but you have to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think so?
Because video sells, and the purpose of doing commercial video is to sell a product, sell a service, sell their brand, you know, promote their people, and video connects with people. When you scroll through, so like before, when I used to scroll through Instagram, you know, you see loads of pictures, people are posting pictures all the time, and you double tap on it, give it a little heart. And that was a simpler time, I guess you could say. Now, when I scroll through Instagram, I barely ever see photos on my feed. It's videos, 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 videos. People are still posting photos, but the photos don't get
But
pushed into your feed.
Let's think about the commercial clients.
Mm-hmm.
They need headshots. They need conference coverages. Mm-hmm. They need product photos. And they are with that. They need like video sales letters and stuff like that. So. But for those clients, those are pretty high production usually.
Mm-hmm.
Videos.
Yeah.
And can tell you that in high production videos, the costs are pretty, like, the profit margin is very minimal to the person managing it. And if you're going to be solo, lighting, filming, editing, all of that, you'll just, you'll kill yourself mm-hmm. over it. So, so let's think about, so if you are introducing video, but you're trying to be different from anyone who just does video, because, you know, people do video, and it's the same thing with, like, what you said with photography. Like, you don't want to weddings and family photos and birthday parties. Like, you can do videos for all of them as well. So in for the commercial photography, how you could think how to productize that video where you are able to apply it with your current skill level. Mm-hmm. You're able to do it by yourself. You're enjoying doing it, and you are getting paid well. So it's something that they need that is valuable, you know? So so you have to think how to productize it in a simple way. So if it's like you're doing professional photography, for example, and you're like, okay, I can make you an Instagram reel. That's a 1 minute video. Doesn't require very heavy editing, but that's something they would want. Oh yes, I want some social media content as well. So, but like going into like product shoots, brand videos, all of that, that's like, you're gonna, if you want to learn that, that's an option, but it's a pretty, from experience, knowing it's a pretty
it's a steep learning curve, and I have done some of that stuff before. Like one of the most recent ones I did was for a commercial client that I've had for quite a few years now, and they're actually a PR firm. My client is a PR firm, and they send me out to the different companies that they represent. So this one was a insulation manufacturing company that's local to here, and they were doing an open day with the university, and they wanted pictures of the event and video of the event, and I was going to deliver them a 2 to 3 minute highlight reel. And the highlight reels are definitely not as high production as, say, a product video or a overall like commercial video that you would do to sell the company, but it's still, there's a lot of work to get done in one day. You know, I got a camera, two cameras around my neck and one camera on a gimbal, and I'm videoing, and then I'm shooting, and then I'm shooting and the videoing, and I'm setting up lights, and I got the microphones, and it's definitely a lot of work. And I think, you know, with that, that's when you start to break into some of the bigger jobs, and you can then hire the team that you need to get it done. And I've worked with outsourcing other people. That becomes a bit of a problem because people are super unreliable. I was working with this guy who was doing, he did a video for me. It wasn't actually for me. It was for another client that I've got. They're like a cosmetics company, and I do event photos for them. And we've talked about doing some commercial work, some like headshots and some pictures of their lab and whatnot. And they wanted to do some video. So I got this guy in for an event, and then they were like, okay, well, let's pump this up a notch. You know, we got like a 6,000 pound budget, and we want to do, you know, a video of the whole product line, like how it works, the manufacturing line, and how products are done. And this guy just totally ghosted. Like, we went and met with them and talked about all the different options. And after that, he just stopped replying, period. And
that happens.
It happens a lot. Too. Yeah. And you don't know why. And it puts a bad taste in my mouth over collaborating with other people. So if I could pay somebody to do something and work for me, then that usually works a lot better. But if it's somebody who's like collaborating on a project and they're kind of involved, kind of not, like they're dipping a toe in, then it always ends up poorly.
It sounds like to deliver video, you would need a videographer in your team working together with you side by side
Yeah.
in that
Yeah.
sense.
And I'm not really going to get to that unless I'm actually already offering videos and can say to somebody, hey, we're going to do this video here like this. And they go, okay.
One moment, my door is dripping out because of the wind.
Okie doke.
It's like jumping back and forth. Cheek, cheek.
And we go back and forth and forth and back
Yeah.
and forth and forth.
About video, it's like I think in your ability to do it is definitely, and if somebody's ready to give you money for it, yeah, but this is outside of the podcast talking. I'm thinking it's better to when you are positioning yourself and marketing and making content to be focusing on the photography and your knowledge about it. But you can make content, video content for yourself, for your social medias about photography, in that way getting your skills up when you eventually can be like, hey, I've been making content for myself. This is what works. I can offer that to you as a your company and stuff. It's a way. It's a way you'll be doing marketing, that's a problem, and you'll be doing videos as practice, which is improvement, and you'll be like more sure of yourself, and you can focus on like social media and see what works and stuff.
Yeah, and also getting to know the gear a bit better. Like
Well.
I got a DJI stabilizer, which is it's nice, but it's not big enough for the camera that I use. So it like tweaks out sometimes. I love that when a gimbal does that, right? And the gimbal's like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, like fuck.
Yeah. Yes. You need to stabilize it better, configure it better. It can work with very
Yeah, no,
heavy rigs.
it's too small. It's the mini. It's the DJI
Oh,
Mini, Ronin
alright.
Mini. And so I've got this 24-70 f/2.8 lens, which is heavy as fuck. And the gimbal just can't take it. It's not strong enough. So I'll probably keep that and use it for like if I have a secondary camera, but then I need to get a like the actual pro
Just
one.
get the DJI Osmo for your video stuff.
Yeah.
And like you can offer like social media videos which are simple, and then if you're at an event taking photos, pulling out a little Osmo for a two stabilized shot.
Yeah,
It's a
okay, nice.
legit option for you. Okay, let's get back into it.
Do it.
In the thick of it. All right, honest commercial photography expert. This is what I'm gonna leave here. That's how you differentiate from others. And that's gonna be also a good pillar for your content. So, what industry trends are influencing your current market, the commercial industry? We talked about videos on Instagram and stuff, but like for your clients, your target clients, what are like the global trends that are influencing what they want?
Like that's a good question. I mean, in terms of I guess it comes down to style, right? Because a photo is a photo is a photo. If you're gonna print it, if you're gonna just use it for your social media, there's not much you can do with the image. Like you can mess around with making things interactive or doing 3D stuff or whatever, but that becomes something different then. So It really just comes down to the style, right? And what styles are influencing. One thing that comes to mind is 15 years ago, Wired, you know, the Wired magazine? Yeah. So they would review products or do an article on a product, and their photographers had this like really, really defined style. You would look at the photo and go, that's a Wired photo. And then everybody started doing that afterwards. And it was like hard shadows, pastel type colors, and a lot of like over the head shots. And you would get like the hard shadow coming from the object. And yeah, you would definitely recognize it if you saw it. And that became an influence on the photography industry. If you're looking at brands, I mean, it really depends on what the brand is. So I couldn't tell you what trends are influencing the market, but I would say that yeah, do some homework on that. Research trends,
Yeah.
baby.
Use Grok or ChatGPT deep search for this. It's very good.
Okay.
Okay, so you got homework now. Research what industry trends are influencing your market. Okay, now another differentiating question. What makes your offer more relevant or valuable than your competitors? Why choose you, Chris?
Because I'm me. I mean, look at me. Come on.
That's actually b before we continue, that's a good way of positioning yourself like that. But for that, you need like a mountain of content telling why it is you. You know,
Yeah,
but
I do have a lot of
continue.
content. I do have a lot of content, but I don't post it, and that's probably the a bit of the problem, right? What makes my offering more relevant or valuable? Yeah, it comes down to experience, really, you know.
That's a good one. So, like that.
Yeah, post more stuff.
Post more stuff, but from this, you'll be able to create some kind of a content strategy where you can showcase your experience. And Gary Vee had a very interesting way of marketing local businesses. So, like you post organic content, the one that performs the best, you put on a Facebook ad in 5 mile radius, and keep repeating till you're a local celebrity.
Okay.
It's a good strategy.
So
Because
wait.
organic.
Explain that again.
So like you're posting like for example reels on Instagram. On average your reels get for example 1,000 views. One gets 5,000. You're like, okay, we got a winner. We put the 5,000 view reel on Facebook ads in a 20 mile radius. Like you only this like this location only you put a targeted ad. So locally, no, in your area, you're just putting money on the ads that have worked before. And so you're like rinse and repeating this. You
Got
keep
it.
posting new stuff, and once new stuff grows, then you like.
Got it. Got it.
Let's keep going to brand awareness. So, are you measuring your brand awareness?
No.
Okay. Your brand name. What does Chris Beal Photo mean or represent?
Represents me and my experience
It's
and my
Chris Beal
professionalism.
Photo.
Yeah, photo, yeah.
If you are rebranding, am I allowed to do this?
Well, currently it's just chrisbeal.com. So,
Perfect. Let's keep it
yeah,
that
that's
way.
me. Yeah,
So it is your
So,
personal brand.
yeah, and I know what you mean, like remove the photo because it's more than just photo.
No, it's because people already know that you are photo. Why you have to tell them twice?
Yeah.
In the
Right. So
future,
good.
of course.
Yeah, I'm not like New York, right?
Yep. By the way, fun fact, Riga is re as well like that. Riga, the Riga,
Really?
and yeah. But I think they changed it recently back to like Vidzeme, which is like the region here. I'm not Got sure. It. Don't quote me on this. I'm not.
You
sure.
Need an I Love Riga shirt.
Fun fact, my girlfriend works at like Riga Design Space, Riga Original, it's called.
Nice.
Yeah, you can check on Instagram. They do very good content about like the places in Riga and stuff.
Okay.
Anyways, chrisbeal.com, it's your personal brand. It represents your experience and
my product, really.
Do you have a logo?
Yes.
What message does it convey?
I'll share it on here and then we'll see what you think about that. Just gonna grab it from here.
Bye-bye. CB.
How's it? So the frame around it is meant to be a photography frame. That's it. And the letters are my initials.
Yes. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. And I don't think you have to make a message of what's the messaging of this like.
Because what's the messaging?
If I'm seeing from afar, not knowing who are you, not knowing anything, not knowing it's photography, anything, it's like, oh, it's CB in a box.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like there's a frame, there's your initials. So how would you, let's try to convey a message that includes commercial honest commercial photography expert in a perfect frame, something. Help me out here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe make it look more like a camera.
No. Not changing it. We're not changing it. We're discovering what you already have here. We're not changing
anything.
So we're working with this. And if somebody's like, hey, what's that on your shirt? You remember when we were in Barcelona, there was One Leg Ed. And I had the studio for, like, I had this logo on my shirt. And he's like, hey, what's that? I like that. What is that? You know, he did it to me. And I was like, it's 401 Studios, music studios. He's like, oh, I also rap. And then he dropped a freestyle and rode away on the back of the van.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get what I'm saying. Like, if somebody's like, what is that? You can be like, in a few sentences, the message that this conveys.
Yeah. So, I mean, the frame represents a picture frame.
Yes.
The initials represent my name, centered in the frame, in focus.
Yes.
Captured content.
Something with, like, let's bring the experience, let's bring the some kind of something of your personality. It's like, do you like...
You've been framed.
Hey, I think that's your print shop.
You've been framed.
Oh, and you can put
framed by little... Chris. Framed by Chris Beal. Yeah, framed works.
You can change it later, but that's what came to my mind. Do you have a tagline?
I don't think I have a tagline.
You want to make it, or you want to make it later?
I mean, does anything come to mind? I don't know what that would be.
I can, we can ask our friend, he's usually good at these things, Mr. AI.
Oh yeah.
Let's see, just for fun. Real striking, unforgettable, framed by Chris Beal.
Real striking, unforgettable. That's me, baby.
You like it?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you'll get to work on your tagline.
Yeah.
I'm just having fun here. Whoop.
Okay. Yeah, we could put a pin in that.
No, I'll just leave it empty. Visuals. Do you have any colors that you focus on, or styles that you keep, or not? Something.
Yeah, I was messing around with some colors previously. So Pixbeat photo, or I'll share the Pixbeat photo logo as well, because that was designed by a friend of mine who was doing. He was doing some. He did my website, and then he did my logo as well. But he's like a professional designer. Let's see, logos, design elements. No design. I don't know where I store anything on my computer anymore. Let's see, where is still in there? Okay, third folders. There we go. Right, so I got a couple different ones for Pixbeat, and you'll see the red, but also that. So that's the icon, and yeah. Then there's the logo, and then there's the photo booth logo. Nice. Yeah, so those are like, those work quite well, and the photo booth logo like goes on basically all the photo booth pictures that I take. It gets printed out automatically onto there.
Hmm.
So it works.
So it's red and black colors.
Yeah, red and black, yeah.
Will you be keeping using them?
Yeah, and I'm going to sell these along with the company when I sell that.
But in your own, in your Crispio brand, like, you're going to keep using red and black?
Well, no, I'm not. What I was trying to get at, what I left out here was that, so initially when I was going to be doing different types of photography all under the name Pixbeat Photo, I was going to use like blue for commercial, green for events, yellow for portraits, red for photo booth. But like, I think that's kind of dumb now. It was a good idea when I first had it. I was probably smoking some weed and thought, oh, that's a great idea. But realistically, I don't think it's a good idea to be doing that, just because it creates confusion.
You're very correct that it creates confusion. That situation where it is a good idea is when you have a huge organization and you have to differentiate somehow. You know, if you had 30 photographers under you running around in events, photo booths everywhere, you'd be like, okay. If you are solo, then it's like you're adding 5 different sub-brands to your big brand that you have to still manage, build trust in, and all of that. So,
yeah. So definitely wouldn't be doing anything in terms of like differentiating with colors, but I'm not opposed to adding a color. My favorite color is blue. Blue or green would be something that I would consider. But
this is like in your Instagram, in your the personal page, in your anything, logo updates.
Mm-hmm.
What emotions do blue and green evoke for you?
Calm.
Blue is definitely a trust color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nature. Yeah. Calm, nature, trust,
be
knowledge.
Calm and trust nature.
Exactly.
I think this is the tagline travel photography brand.
Be calm and trust nature?
Yeah. It's a little bit 2012 Tumblr, but
yeah, that's part of the problem I have with taglines is like, this seems kitschy. You know what I mean? You ever hear that word kitschy?
Yes, but if I say just do it,
yeah,
you know exactly what I am conveying in that little phrase.
Yeah, I was speaking to this guy in Austin when I was out there, and he was telling me about the importance of having a motto and how a motto is kind of different from a tagline. And he was saying that just do it is like a motto because it, like your tagline is something that you say, right? It become like a comedian has a tagline or a presenter has a tagline, but just do it isn't just a tagline, it's a motto because it invokes an action. Does that make sense?
That's an
Like it.
interesting way to frame it. For
Yeah.
me, a tagline and the motto, I confuse the two, and it is the same for me. I have never differentiated it in such a way that like you just explained. But it makes sense. A tagline that invokes an action is a motto. It's logical.
Yeah,
So we can
exactly.
change for you to have a motto.
Okay.
If that feels better and doesn't feel so kitschy. But in at the core, it's probably the same thing. It's some kind of a phrase that you can associate with yourself, and you're like, oh, every time you finish work with a client, you're like, you've been framed, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can play with that very funny. Just don't go around shooting kids and stuff. Brand personality and perception. How would you describe your brand's personality? If Chris Beale photo, I'm saying photo to not to confuse with yourself, but if Chris Beale, the photographer, walked in your door right now with a camera, he was like, "Hey, what kind of personality would he have?"
Exciting, happy, friendly, personable.
I heard one good one.
Personable. Interactive.
Interactive, yes.
Engaging.
That's the same as interactive.
Yeah.
Then you got more?
No, that's good.
And your culture. So
I'm
this is
American, bro.
the
Yeah, go ahead.
just do it culture.
Just do it culture.
Yeah, what's your work ethic? What's your because you have the luxury of being the only person in your company, so you get to set completely the culture of how you work. And I'm trying to understand what that culture is like. What's your brand's culture when you are on set, taking pictures, in action, doing the stuff? What would the culture of the moment be described when you are doing your
Focused. Man, no pun
focus?
intended, but yeah, focused.
In bro, intend it. Intended, that's gonna work for you
Okay. Yeah, maybe that can work into my motto.
as well. It's after this whole the discovery will be done, it will be I will create like a brand overview for you, like a document where all of the key elements are highlighted, and from that you can easily devise your anything you'll do in the future. You're like, maybe I don't know, even scripts for videos, your approach to messaging, texts, everything, taglines, mottos, new logos. You can just give to a designer, like, here's my brand, make something.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so well, you'll have something to work with after. How is Chris Beale Photo currently perceived?
I would say, basically what I've mentioned above, interactive, personable, maybe not exciting so much, just because I need to pump up the hype a little bit.
This is more like your customer reviews, like
Yeah,
how
go
people look at you currently.
friendly, gets the job done, professional.
Jeep. Okay. What core values are in your brand, drive your brand?
Core values drive my brand. I would say, I mean, it always points back to professionalism. Yeah, professionalism is basically kind of sums it up.
Only? You are only professional? You don't care about
it? Professional. Friendly. Funny.
No, values, like, you will... Yes.
Professionalism.
You're in... Like, this is more outside of your work. This is more your own, like, because we're currently exploring your personal brand, so we can look at yourself.
Okay, so, like,
and your
honesty.
Own values. Well, now we're talking.
Prepared. Preparedness. Equipped. Well-equipped. Yeah, that kind of sums it up.
All right. Professional, honest, prepared, and well-equipped. And how do you communicate this to your clients?
I don't currently, really, but I should. I should be doing that through my any sort of Instagram stuff that I'm uploading. You know, one of the reasons why I don't post much on Instagram is I've always been obsessed with, like, only uploading stuff that I've thought about and pored over and put a lot of time and effort into. And I think that I need to strike a balance between getting content up, actually the doing versus the perfecting, if that makes sense.
Somewhere I heard this quote that perfection is the killer of progress or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've learned that working in the DAO as well, because, I would, like, stress over getting shit done, and then other people would show up to a meeting and
get paid.
Yeah, and get paid, exactly, for doing sweet fuck all. And it makes you realize, okay, well, just getting something out there, produce something, even if it's shit, because then at least there's something to talk about and something to improve upon.
That's kind of how I started this podcast.
Your podcast is not shit, bro.
Respectfully, thank you. did you listen to it?
No, I haven't listened to it.
Nice. But yeah, I like forced myself to record at least one episode, and I put up the cameras and I connected the microphones. The first one I was just, and I sat there and I pressed record, and I sat there like for 20 minutes. I didn't know how to start it, but I was like, just, I have to do this somehow, some way. And then I started talking, said some stuff, and it was like a 9-minute podcast in the end. For 9 minutes I could talk, and then I was like, so done. But now we're doing 3 hours, so it's been improving definitely. Yeah, the time for perfection on Instagram is long gone. I've seen people, you know which people win right now? Those that are capable of posting 11 times per day.
Yeah, I've noticed that, like, in Warpcast and Twitter as well, or X, so, like, I was looking at someone's account this morning, and I was trying to see a post that he put. I'm pretty sure he posted it yesterday or the day before, and I was looking through, and I got to, like, 15 different posts, and I was like, when did this guy post that thing? And I looked, and, like, the 15th post that I had done, that scene was posted like 10 hours ago, and he's posting like twice an hour, and I would be like posting, you know, once a week.
But on the other hand, if you are positioning yourself as an expert, as a professional, you cannot be just throwing shit out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what you said before, finding that balance between something of quality and progress towards some progress going forward with activity online. So yeah, it you don't have to jump to 11 pulls per day.
No, I certainly won't be.
Hey, if you got nothing to do, it can work, and it can work for outreach, for exposure. Okay, so talking about the social media channels, what channels are currently delivering results for you? Where are through which marketing channels are you getting clients?
It's really just word of mouth, a little bit through the website.
What's your approach to social media, email, or content?
Big fat goose egg.
Okay. Do you use SEO or paid ads?
No.
Do you measure your ROI? Do you have an ROI to measure?
You froze a bit there, bro.
I'm back.
Hello.
Do you measure ROI on your digital efforts? Do you have an ROI? Oh, I can hear you. You can't hear me? No, it's working. Technical pause.
It's stopped. We're stopped.
Hello. We're not stopped. We're
hello. Good.
You.
I can hear you now. I see you typing. You might be back. Are we back? Yeah, we're back. We're good.
We're back? Okay. Because yeah. It didn't froze for me. I saw everything. Maybe the recording was uploading real time or something.
Yeah, it might have something to do with upload or something. I don't know. Yeah, we had a bit of a lag there. I think we're good now.
Focus.
Yeah, we still got a lag. It's like a
bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, it's like a 1-2 second lag on the audio.
You wanna reset the
We're good. Recording? We're good. You're back.
We're back.
You're synced up now. Yep. Let's do it.
Synced. Okay. So do you have an ROI that you're measuring? Do you have even an investment?
No.
Okay. This was an easy section.
Yeah, I need to up that a bit.
Do some action items as well.
Okay. For this one, like I said, word of mouth or website.
So why do they keep coming back?
Because they like me and they like the results that I give them.
Success. Do you give them candies, maybe?
No, I don't give them candy.
That's actually a very good method. I have a client that works in furniture. He's building custom furniture. And when he's going to repeat customers, he always takes some snacks or some drinks or something just as a gesture, you know.
Yeah, I've considered doing things like that. And then also for like recurring customers, sending them like a Christmas card or a Christmas like hamper, that type of thing.
Yep, that works very well. That like just like I remember we went to take photos of a kitchen that he did one of his past clients. And you're just like, okay, let's grab these little cookies with the cream in them. Went there, ate some cookies, took some pictures, had fun and left and stuff like that. But it's a small gesture, but for clients that are returning and that are good ones for you that you work with, it's a very good thing to consider next time you meet them.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
Loyalty and advocacy. How do your clients share their experience to others about you or how they become repeat buyers? So you have
That's something that, you know, every photographer struggles with, because oftentimes you'll see your pictures on Facebook, on Instagram, on social media, in print, in a book, in a magazine, and there's no credit. They don't say who the photographer was. And you can write that into a contract, but even then they don't do it, or it sounds like you're nagging them. And I think the best way to really like get that to happen is by creating a unique experience. So I've got a friend who's a photographer, and he met one of my commercial clients at a networking event. And I've dealt with this lady for years, and I know she likes me because every time we hang out, she's talking about, she's singing my praise and saying your photos are great and I love working with you. But she posts about this guy on LinkedIn all the time. It's like talking about how great Rob is and, how he's such a fun guy. And I think it's because he's more engaging with her on social media. And I think that's something that I need to improve is engaging with my potential clients wherever they are engaging.
Also, you can about the photos being posted and no credit, you can just up the price to include you can use these photos wherever you want. So you have a pricing package with these are photos for this project, and you have a pricing package, these are photos for everything you want.
Yeah, and I've toyed
I
around with
guess.
that stuff before. It does, when you get to the upper levels and you're booking clients who respect that type of thing, then it works. But I've found that it scares people off. So when you say to them, if you include all these strict licensing terms that are restrictive, and say, okay, you can use these photos for your website for up to 5 years, period. And they go, yeah, but we want to have this and we want to have that. We need them for social media. We need them for print. We want to use these photos wherever you want. And you go, okay, well, that's going to cost extra. And then they go, okay, well, see you later, bro. And they go to somebody else. And if you're working at that level already, then you can write that into your contract. But if you're trying to get to that level, it's hard to know which clients are going to actually respect that. And so I've gotten to the point where I've just decided, you know what? The more my photos get seen, the better. If I can add those photos to my website or my Instagram and showcase them there, that should be enough for me. I don't necessarily need credit. If it comes out in a newspaper, they'll always have a byline anyway, unless it's an ad. And if it's an ad, they're not going to mention the photographer anyway. But this is why it's important not to do free shit, where you say, okay, I'll do something for, half price, but you have to give me exposure. Exposure. I mean, that's the exposure in photography
Trust
is a
exposure trust.
double-edged word because you got to have perfect exposure to get the photo, right? The
And to get
technical
the
term
clients
exposure,
as
but then
well.
yeah, but like you see what I mean? The double meaning there, like expose the photo, but then you've got like exposure of your person and your brand and your imagery, and they're like, oh, you'll get so much exposure. And I've tried working for exposure before, and it's a scam every single time. They're not there
Oh,
to promote
user
you.
experience.
Yeah, they're not there to promote you, dude. They're not there to like help you get your next client. They don't give a shit about that. All they want is a picture of what they want, and then you can go eat a dick.
Good that I am not monetized. Yeah,
So,
I'll do this
anyway.
for Instagram, but I will clip this part. It's a very nice one.
Okay.
We'll have a reel with it. By the way, from this whole session, to also short clips to post, and you can pick and choose and create your Instagram reel story.
Okay,
Just
man.
with that content making,
Let's do it.
about who is Chris, you know.
Hey, then.
All right. About share experience or become repeat buyers, you need to be creating a unique experience and engage with your clients in real life and social media where they are. So that's what we have written down here. Do you have any system of video video or text reviews, like Google reviews type of stuff.
I've done that before with Google and sent people a link, or Facebook and sent people a link, but I do need to be more regimented about that.
Because video reviews work great for like ads.
Yeah, that's true.
I will write in so you start doing them. How is it called? Reviewer, all right? Video reviews, yep.
Testimonial.
Testimonials, that's what it's called, yep. Okay, and what kind of feedback have you received in general? The most memorable one.
Most memorable feedback. A lot of that comes from... okay, so feedback in terms of like...
customer feedback after the job's done.
Yeah, I'd say that definitely comes from one of my PR clients, and they are... you know, they constantly tell me how they enjoy working with me. I don't get a lot of negative feedback. People tend to sort of just keep that to themselves, I guess. But I'm not opposed to receiving negative feedback. Like, if you got something that you think I should be improving on, then by all means, let's hear it. But I would say, yeah, most of the customer feedback that I receive is about my personality and about how great the photos are. Like, my personality and the product outcome.
You are in a perfect position to expand your personal brand. That's literally only thing needed. You need a personality and a great product outcome.
All right. Well, that's it. I got those in spades.
Exactly. Okay. So we have gone through most of the big stuff. And you probably have a feeling of what you have to do now to develop this further. What challenges do you anticipate?
Probably executing these things and consistently, right? Like, consistently getting stuff out there.
Only that?
That is my biggest challenge always. Yeah. Of getting stuff done. Maybe I would say planning social media posts, because that there's a lot, like, when I sit down to make a social media post and it takes me half an hour to do it, and I'm like, God, why don't I just have like these things ready to go and spend 2 hours on a Monday planning out all my social media posts for the week and then schedule them, right? It's like getting these things scheduled and ready to go. Yeah. And then I would also say interacting on social media, because I don't go on the places where I need to be. Like, my mind is always elsewhere. I'm always like, I'm passionate about a bunch of stuff that's not photography related. And so I'm talking to people who are not my target market and not my clients. So maybe trying to focus a bit more on the people that I need to be discussing to build my business out a bit more.
Anything else?
I think that's about it.
Okay. Are there any gaps in your resources, skills, or knowledge?
Especially when it comes to video, yeah, definitely. I would say, yeah, video production and editing.
That entails.
Yeah. I would say there's always more gear to buy.
But do you lack gear right now?
Depending on what it is I need to do, depending on the types of shoots that I need to do, there are certain things that... on the surface level, no.
You can always rent and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
For a project.
Yeah.
So that's all fine. Resources okay. You have.
Yeah.
So knowledge and skills you have. Only video production, which is not really something not your main offer. So I would say I don't see any excuses here for you.
Yeah. Okay.
To be consistently executing, planning, and active on social media. So what upcoming opportunities do you see in your industry or space?
I think like the most obvious one is adding AI into the workflow, and getting like automate. When I think about doing some social media management for other companies, I could easily do that with AI, right? There are AI tools and resources out there that I can use to both market myself and help my clients achieve their marketing goals. And if I can produce these things, that's going to set me apart for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, we are using AI right now, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because recording will be automatically edited, and the short clips will be created as well from it, just with transcript AI that's like analyzing what we are speaking. Like, there's an automatic transcript going, and from that transcript, the AI is analyzing moments to cut out a short clip. So, like, as we speak, we are doing that, and it's just going to get more every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely an opportunity to be exploiting yesterday.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that I could have, you know, as you know, I used to do a lot of these AMAs, and I recorded a lot of them on Riverside. We would do a double recording. So we would go live on Twitter, and then we would also go record in Riverside. So we'd have me, Jairus, and whoever the guest or guests were, and we would connect on here. And that was one of the things I neglected, was we would produce a video from this, but that was it. It was just a video that would go to YouTube, and we missed out on a bunch of other stuff. I could have been pushing that AI to the max and got a lot more exposure, which would have helped me and helped the DAO. But, you know, live and learn, hey?
It happens. Hey,
exactly.
I still have around 70 videos from ETH Barcelona and Ibiza and everywhere else that are not posted anywhere. So I did use the AI. I did use the AI to clip everything and add captions, but it never, because it never made it to the DAO's social media. So even using the tools, not always happens the way you want to. But
yeah,
in any absolutely. Case, the time is now, and definitely do explore what I will drop you one website real quickly. I will just for research, we're using this one. Under here, so you have it. Do indulge in the universe of everything that the world is building in AI right now.
Where did you post that? On Discord?
No, in the doc under the AI opportunity.
Oh, right.
Document.
Le document.
It's called There's an AI for That, and it basically covers
nice
everything that is like latest going live. These are like API, like models, like custom GPTs, like everything that the people are posting is just going on here. And it's like, it's also covering the big things, the newest big things that are like the what the big companies are doing, but like there's people forking and recoding and leveraging, and just like a whole universe. And I feel like just the same as I felt when I discovered DeFi.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit 10x'd.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So yeah, do a research that and find some tools for yourself, for your photography to automate, to offer to people to explore, because like that's an angle that people who will be the first to master will be the first to utilize.
Absolutely. All right. There's an AI for that. Boom.
Do keep listening to the Xena Digital podcast, because we'll be covering the best tools for businesses to expel to the future, not expel, but to propel them in the future of the technological AI revolution and the decentralization of the universe.
Yeah, baby.
All right. We got only two sections left. All right. What's your budget for branding, marketing, or scaling efforts right now?
I don't know. What...
It looks like $300,000
Blood, baby. That's blood.
I'll have to blur that one. Yes. Okay. That means you have to start generating content a lot more than your average business that can put it on paid ads.
Yeah, I mean, I can create a budget for it, and I've spent some stuff before. But before I do that, I need a strategy, because
before you do that, you need to post something, just like
yeah.
Because you have the skills, you have the resources, the technology, like you have everything in your arsenal to do content marketing with absolutely zero costs.
Yeah, it really just comes down to like the ads. Comes down to like yes. SEO. Like SEO I can do on my own to a degree, but it would be better to...
SEO AI, bro.
Got it.
I don't
got
need
it.
An SEO expert anymore.
Okay.
Just do content marketing, and once something goes semi-viral, then put ad on it. Like,
okay.
That's it. Yeah. Goes. You don't need, like, viral is also bigger than your usual content. You're like, okay, yeah. People like this, people are responding to this. You can amplify it. Yeah. Do you have an internal team managing these initiatives?
Yeah, I've got a little team of squirrels in my head. And they're constantly bickering. It was like Chip and Dale in my head.
Are you working with any external partners, freelancers, or tools?
No.
Are you using any platforms for marketing and automation, a CRM or a data analytics or something like that?
I just am using Notion and Lightblue, which are both like what I would consider like my CRM. And
Lightblue?
LIGHT based blue. Yeah. And that's a photographer CRM database. So it's like, it sends out contracts. You store all your customer information in there. It does your invoicing. It can do other things like integrate with your website, and like people can book directly. You can have like your calendar up there, and I've toyed with integrating that with my photo booth business, but now that the photo booth business is going to go, that I'm just going to kind of get rid of that. But yeah, essentially it's a way for me to manage my shoots. It's specifically for photographers, so you can manage your shoots and add in products and stuff, which I don't necessarily add in products, because I don't do a lot of like in-house print sales.
You have to.
Yeah, I know. Although I would say like, I could definitely
print on demand for that is usually the go-to option.
Yeah, for sure. So my website is hosted through Zenfolio. My chrisbeal.com website is hosted through Zenfolio. And yeah, you can add that in there. Zenfolio has integrated print on demand partners. And they also allow you to do custom or self-fulfillment. So like I've done both before. The benefit of having self-fulfillment is your product costs go way down, right? So like
Yeah.
if you've got your own printer and you only need to do 8x10 prints or 6x9 prints or whatever it is, you can do all those in, and you would go to an event and then take all your orders online and then print everything all at the same time and then post them out. The disadvantage is that when somebody orders, you got to be there to print your stuff out. Whereas the print-on-demand stuff, it gets all handled through there and everything is managed and you don't have to do anything. Like you can set it up to either approve print orders when they come through or just auto approve print orders when they come through. And the main difference would be like if you go to an event and you don't do any editing on the photos, no cropping, no nothing, then you would want somebody to place an order and then you finalize the images that get purchased and then upload those for fulfillment. Or if you do something that's all batch edited and everything is ready to rock, you just upload that and people can place their order and it gets auto fulfilled and you don't have to do anything. The money just lands in your account. But you get less money doing it that way,
No,
if
yeah,
that makes
makes
sense.
sense. Makes sense.
But it's like hands off, right? So if I'm doing like once I get my print shop set up, which I've been saying this for years and years and years, then in theory, I'll be able to sell like a canvas for £350 and I can be in fucking Tahiti on a beach and money will just land in my account. I'll also get a notification, print was sold, got delivered to someone in Colorado, and you just get, you get your £200 or whatever.
You know what's the only thing with that? Consistent execution and planning on activity in social media.
Yeah.
So, it's right there. You can take it.
There for the taking and touching.
Exactly. So, are there any other tools or systems you're exploring to improve performance?
Yeah, AI, boom, AI marketing. AI, mate.
Like Captain. Yep.
AI.
Okay. We have successfully concluded the Crispiel brand discovery session.
3 hours later.
Yes, how was it?
That was fucking awesome, dude. Thanks for helping out and thanks for
We're not done yet with
digging
you.
in. Okay.
There's going to be more behind the scenes. We're done with the podcast, in a sense. Well, I'll not be recording the next steps, but you will get a brand overview document that you can actually use to inform yourself or other people you work with about your this marketing decisions, brand decisions, whatever decisions you feel needed. And I'll personalize some action steps for you that you can start on creating and working on. So yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, man.
I guess that's it for this episode of Zenith Digital Podcast. This was a special episode, a 3-hour episode. If you're still here and you're still listening to this, great success. And I hope you took something for yourself and for your brand from this discovery session. Anyways, thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Chris, for joining and putting your brand out in the open for everybody to see. I know it's not easy, but whoever promised is gonna be, or something like that.
Yeah,
Thank you,
nobody said
Chris.
that. Thank
Well,
you,
yeah, I
Ranus.
guess. Amazing.
All right.
Deuces.
Shout out. Love you, bro.
Cheers.